My guest this morning is Dryden's Regan Breeze, a local beekeeper and educator in Dryden. Good morning, Regan.
Good morning, Richard. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for doing this. Many of us have seen, Regan, from you on social media, what you have been doing to keep others informed lately about bees. You are a beekeeper. Let's take it back. First off, your interest in bees and beehives and honey making, how long has that been going on?
I've been roughly doing it for about 20 years. I self-educated myself. The ex-wife and I were going to go for a trip, and I picked up the Global Mail. I didn't really know too much about it myself, but I read an article on honeybees. I thought it was very fascinating. So my birthday was a few months down the road, so she brought it once herself to buy me my first package of honeybees. From there, I thought that I knew exactly everything that I should do. But when I got the bees, I found out totally differently. And to this day, I am still learning a lot on the arts of being a backyard beekeeper.
We'll talk more about that in just a second. Let's get you educating us then. Is there a difference between the bees that we see on the lawns? Is there a difference between bees and honeybees?
So that's a really good question, Richard. They are very close and similar in nature, but they also differentiate. A bumblebee can only sting once because they have a barbed stinger, where a wasp, a hornet, or a yellow jacket can sting profusely over and over and over again because they don't have the barb. When a bumblebee or a honeybee sting, the internal intestines of the stinger come out to pump the venom in. Very rarely will they ever sting, and the only reason why they will sting is only because somebody's bothered them, stepped on them, and so forth like that. They are only doing it as a protective mechanism. So with that being said, the bumblebee is native to Canada, but the European honeybee actually is not. So from years back, they came from South Africa. Then they were migrated and brought over through trading to Asia. From there, from Asia, they were brought over to the Europeans, and in the 1600th century is when they were brought over to North America, and that's when the art of beekeeping came about from there.
You touched on it a little bit. Many people still have a fear. Some people fear bees. What would you say to those people?
When someone gets stung, they say, "I got stung by a bee." Well, I'd like to correct a lot of people on that, because the chances are you didn't get stung by a bee, and this is what we're trying to educate people with the fact that you probably got stung by a yellow jacket, hornet, or wasp, like I said, but there is a chance you probably could have maybe got stung by a bee, but it's very less compared to the other three that can sting you over and over again, like I said, with a yellow jacket, hornet, or a wasp. Bumblebees are native, like I said, prior to the honeybees. They have a little bit more of a fuzz on them. But the difference is how very important honeybees are in a populating sense, because a bumblebee will basically only have a nest up to 100 to 300 bees, bumblebees. And that is a really big hive. You don't see it too often. But in a honeybee colony, you can have honeybees up to 20,000 to 80,000 per hive. So you can get to see how vital they are actually to pollinating, because that's exactly what bees do. Their sole purpose is to pollinate flowers. It takes one bee throughout its probably 5-week lifetime, less than a gram of honey being made throughout its lifetime. So it takes bees 2 million flowers to pollinate to make 1 pound of honey. So you can see the amount of work that goes into actually creating honey. So, like, for myself, if I dribble a little bit on the kitchen counter, and I'm cleaning that up and I'm using it, because there's been so much work that's been put into that just one tablespoon of honey from the bees itself.
Very interesting. You said something about clover. Now, I have noticed personally, when I was much younger, as a kid, my lawn used to be filled with clover, and the bees were out there by the dozens. We know there's been more pesticides used over the years, over the decades. The bee population, is it being affected? What can we do to help?
I think that what we're doing right now is the first step, and thank you for supporting this. We're trying to make a movement by educating people as well. So what I have planned in the near future, it's been brought forth to our elected officials. I like to talk and educate them as well. We do have a bylaw within our community, the city of Dryden. We also call ourselves the Wilderness City. So why don't we exemplify that by supporting our local pollinators? We have a bylaw, like I was saying. Our grass can only be about 20 centimeters in length. What I have set forth is I would like to have for next year, for May and June, which is pretty vital seasons for the honeybees and the bumblebees and pollinators, to have a sign in your front yard saying that you want to support bees so that you'll be able to grow your lawn to a substantial amount, just so that the flowers that are so vital at the very beginning of spring, allow them, the pollinators, to actually get a feed. The slogan on there, I have a bunch of them. I would like to set them forward to you, Richard, if you could do a poll on what the community thinks is best. We've got a lot of support already just from yourself and sharing the education talks we've been doing on Facebook and YouTube. It's gone viral. I have Rotary Kenora, Rotary Dryden. They want to be an educated talk on the pollinators and the honeybees, so forth like that. So the little sign is going to be kind of cute in a way. It's got a cute little slogan on it. It's going to be nice in nature. We wanted to make it look more nice for the lawn in support. So when we allow our weeds to grow, it's going to say, excuse me, I'm allowing my weeds to grow so the bees will show. Through the month of May and June, like I said, if this goes forth, we're hoping our elected officials will support this. Your lawns will be able to grow where dandelions, clover, the devil's paintbrush will be able to grow. And those are natural species of plants that support us. So with that being said, we're hoping to have the sign to replace herbicide signs and pesticide signs. But the bees are actually also governed under the Ontario Bee Act. So there's processes that need to take place. My honeybees are registered. So that also gives me a clearance that people cannot use herbicides or pesticides within a radius around my yard because I have the bee. I do not want that because they are on a decline. Statistics have shown that bees in some provinces have declined to about 50%. And a lot of this is because they're losing their habitat. Herbicides, pesticides are probably one of the biggest ones. And another one is also insects that are going against the bees. They are in a big struggle. They are struggling for their lives right now. And voramites are one of the biggest things. A voramite is basically like a wood tick to a person. They transmit a disease when the honeybee is in its larvae state, and they basically paralyze the bee so that the bee is kicked out of the hive. Because honeybees are one of the most sociable creatures that we have. They do not defecate or urinate in a hive. They wait till the wintertime to do a cleanse flight over the wintertime. They will kick out any bee within the family that may be sick or diseased, and they'll expel them from the hive so that the rest of the hive can maintain a longer existence. So they work very collaboratively together, and like I said, they're one of the most sociable creatures that we have. With that being said, they are one of the most vital insects or species that we have for all mankind existence. For us to exist, the bee being gone, David Suzuki even quotes it, bees, by the time that they die, mankind will probably have 4 to 7 years of life after the bees are gone. Just in Ontario alone, there are about 3,000 registered beekeepers with approximately over 100,000 honeybee hives. With honeybees helping our economy, they bring in about $897 million to the $7 billion in agriculture just in Ontario itself. And that's about 13% that our bees help assist us bring to economy. In Canada itself, they make 75 million pounds of honey. They contribute about $4 billion to the Canadian agriculture itself. And to the world, they bring $217 billion to the global economy. When a flower does not get pollinated, it will not exist. So that's how come honeybees are so crucial, and pollinators themselves. But like I said, honeybees are more on a bigger level with 20,000 to 80,000 per hive. They fly in about a 5-kilometer radius searching for nectar. So if you plant native species plants within your yard, you're helping assist. So that's why I'm trying to get this movement going, allowing our clover to grow, allowing our dandelions to grow, having sunflowers, assisting people, educating them on store-bought flowers, because a lot of the times people think they're assisting in the pollinators by buying these plants that are bright and vibrant. But a lot of people don't know that. Some places actually have pre-pesticided plants, which is actually doing a negative. So you're actually contributing to the fact that the decline in bees itself.
Well, very interesting, Regan. I want to thank you for joining us today to let us know more about the bee population and how we can help.
Richard, thank you for having me here today. I could speak probably days on the importance of honeybees and how they are. And I just ask people, reach out. You shared it yourself, Richard. Take a look at your Facebook page. Share it, like it. I'll be in touch with you on some of the slogans that we have for the signs. I'd like a community poll, and I hope our city elected officials will actually be able to see the importance of this as well. Self-generating, we're not asking for money, we're asking for support. I believe education is one of the most crucial things, because you educate one person, and it's the right person, you can always get things done. And I plan on this, Richard, it will get done.
Before we let you go, we are also sharing with our viewers on social media and on CKDR.net videos and pictures how you recently took care of a swarm of bees that were discovered in someone's yard. Regan, just let us know a little bit about that.
A local beekeeper, a good friend of mine, has a beehive as well. She called me up and she had a swarm of bees. So what a swarm is, it's how honeybees naturally reproduce. So two queens in a hive, well, you're only allowed to have one. Unfortunately, the queens go to battle, and if there's no winner, the new queen will take half of the new brood and quite a bit of the honey from the old existing hive. They'll fly out to a nearby branch, so there will be a queen, roughly about 10,000 new honeybees there, send out a couple scouts to go find a new relocation spot to build a hive. So we captured that swarm, which is a new hive for the owner, and I've had it many times myself. It's a financial gain. It's also another thing of getting a free hive, which you don't have to pay for, and it allows you to have more pollinators within your yard. So the swarm that we caught, I didn't have my suit on, and there's roughly 10,000 bees. So we got to bridge that. Basically, I don't want to, I'll say this lightly, the arrogance and negative that people have that all bees are going to sting. I had about 10,000 bees flying around me without a bee suit on. Towards the end, we found the queen, put her in a box, and as of a couple of days ago, we did another reinspection of the hive. They're foraging, making honey, new broods being laid. So to that owner, yeah, she has a new hive and it's very exciting. It's a beautiful thing. And a lot of people do not get the chance to see it. So I've had people come over to my yard. I've done a few educational showcasings. I expand to local businesses. I'm trying to get rooftop beekeeping. And that's another pitch I want to bring to our elected officials. And maybe the Rotary and maybe the Chamber. We have food bank that relies on our vegetables, our fruits and berries and nuts. But those will not ever be there if we do not have our bees and pollinators. So we have our community garden. We have our egg center. It goes on and on and on, Rich. And I'm trying to get local businesses that are dealing with restaurants to have a beehive on top. I will deal with the bees myself. I will manage the bees. And the business can reap the honey out of that that I will give to them. And they can use it as, like, say, a fancy dinner. Or they could use it as a glaze. And it will help bring business. So there's nothing but win on this one, Richard.
Well, you're obviously very passionate about this, Regan, keeping the bees alive. Local beekeeper and educator Dryden's Regan Breeze. I almost called you bees.
Yeah, bees are honey.
Let's have some today.
You betcha.